I covet your prayers this morning. We serve a great God, an awesome God. You know, we have such privileges as God's saints to meet together in a church capacity, an assembly, a congregation, to lift up our praises to God and to love Him and adore Him. And before we begin, I'd like to offer a word of prayer that God would be with us today. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd open up our hearts and minds to receive the Word of God and to see Him who is invisible, the God of glory, in the face of Jesus Christ. And pray that you'll bless the Word to our hearts and to our minds and to our souls, and that we might go our way like the eunuch, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The subject this morning is one I have spoken on many times. Living upon the living Christ. You know, sometimes we believe, once we believe in Christ, that's all we have to do. That's only the beginning. We have a great fellowship and a great relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We've been translated or delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Amen.
What a privilege we have as God's people. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, begin reading the verse 9. And Paul was speaking, I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him. That should be your prayer, to know more about Jesus and the power of His resurrection. I hope that as we finish the sermon today, you will understand a little bit of the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto His death. We're going to be speaking about the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ into glory. This is the gospel. It's His story. From Genesis until Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is to have the preeminence over everything. The first thing we're going to look at is His life. You read the four gospels and you hear and you read and you hear and you hear proclaimed the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 7, He's called the surety of a better testament. He's our surety. He's our guarantee of salvation. Just a few verses to show you. His life was lived for you and I. He didn't just live on the earth to proclaim and to die, but He lived for a particular purpose. He obeyed the law
Amen.
To the very jot and tittle, and His righteousness that He lived becomes our righteousness
Amen.
Before God. And what a glory that is. It says in Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God through Adam. Everyone. Everyone stands in need of salvation. Jesus provided a way for righteousness for His people. We thank God for that. It says, for if one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. It's all of grace, not of works. It's abundance of grace. And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Christ said in John 14:19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Beloved, we're living today because He's living in glory and He's living inside of us. We are His living epistles, read and known of all men. Thank God for that. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. And I hope to demonstrate this morning how we have the abundant life through Jesus Christ. He's living within us, and we should praise God for that. In Romans 8:2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, the life of Christ in the believer. Hallelujah for that. What does that mean to you and I this morning? We are made righteous by His obedience. He obeyed the law to the very jot and very tittle. His personal righteousness is imputed, Brother Ray, to you and I. We stand complete in Him. He is my righteousness. Some people say, oh, I'm afraid to stand before God in the last day. But, beloved, we will stand there in the righteousness of our beloved, Amen. In the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. It says in in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did we beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for He had made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God imputed our sins to Christ, and imputed His righteousness to us.
Amen.
In the eternal purpose of God. Beloved, that's love. That's love. The one that done that was God the Father. God the Father had a great hand in all that happens to us in salvation. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Beloved, Jesus is all that we need. He's everything. He's everything. And before we finish today, I hope you see this. Paul, again, he prayed, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, says Isaiah. But we have the righteousness which is of God, that of Jesus Christ. We are complete in Him, Colossians 2:10. We are perfect in Christ, not in ourselves. You know, you can look within, and you can see things that displeases you. The devil will make you look at yourself and look at your faults. But Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look away from yourself. Look to the one who's perfect. And we're perfect in Him. And thank God for that. So you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. Ephesians 4:32. Says, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Beloved, we should be grateful that the Father forgives you and I of our sins because of the sacrifice of His Son. He don't overlook sin. God's holy, pure, righteous. In Him is no darkness at all, is taught in 1 John. But our sins were laid upon Jesus Christ, and He honors His Son by forgiving those whom Christ laid down His life for. We praise God for that. Jesus is He was our Savior. He was our sacrifice. And He's our high priest. He suffered as a substitute for our sacrifice. Sacrifice viewed from the perspective of guilt. We had guilt. We all were guilty before God. Propitiation is from wrath. We were delivered from the wrath to come. Reconciliation. These may be big words to some of you, but they mean alienation. We've been delivered from being separated from God. Redemption from bondage in terms of a ransom. His body was laid down as a price, a ransom for our sins. In view of the guilt, Christ gave Himself as a sacrificial offering to remove the guilt that was upon all of us. We were guilty before God. He removed that guilt. Also, propitiation. He covered our sins by His blood. He made sacrifice. The Father doesn't see us under judicial condemnation anymore from Adam. We've been set free. So we thank God for that, beloved, of His preciouses. Also, we are made accepted in the beloved. You know, so many people say, I just don't feel accepted. Your acceptance is not within you. Our acceptance, beloved, is in Christ. Ephesians 1:6. We've been made accepted in the beloved. Romans 8:1 starts off with a beautiful thought. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We are no longer under condemnation, Brother Larry. We are no longer under condemnation. Hallelujah. Why? Because of the offering of Jesus Christ. He is our surety. He is our guarantee of glory. He's our high priest. We have a high priest over the house of God. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. 1 John 2:1. He's our advocate. He's our mediator. Hebrews 12:24. We are to look unto Him in all things, as I said earlier. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's his life. As we think about his life, he's accomplished all of that just by living upon this earth. Also, his obedience unto death. He came to die. He came into this world to die for his people. As it says in Matthew, he shall save his people from their sins. And how did he do that? By death, by offering his body to die and to hang upon a tree. It says in Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For Christ, Peter says, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. It's the just one. The Lord Jesus was holy, without blemish, and without spot, dying for the unjust. God loved us and demonstrated his love by dying on our behalf. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. That's the one that we're worshiping this morning. And Paul said it like this, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the good news, Brother Ray. That's the good news to those who have hearts and ears to hear the message. I pray this morning that the Word of God will have free course in some of your lives. If you have never been brought to put your faith in Jesus Christ, what an honor and privilege it is to believe in the Jesus Christ. And if you've been brought to that, that you might learn to live upon the one that you believe in each day of your lives by faith. He can meet every need in every life. He's a life-giving one. He told over there when Lazarus was dead, I am the resurrection and the life. He is life. Just like about eternal life walked upon this earth. As he walked upon the earth, he was the creator. He was the upholder of the earth. At the same time he was man, he was God-man, he was upholding the universe by his power. Right. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is God Almighty, manifested in flesh. Hallelujah. You know, we serve an awesome God, beloved, and we should be grateful for that. That is a wonderful thought for all of us, to worship the Lord. What does Christ's death mean to us today? Sometimes we forget about our blessings. You know, Peter said, I stir up your pure minds in way of remembrance. I hope this morning that the Spirit will stir up your minds to meditate upon this gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, he washed our sins away by his own blood. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, he was faithful unto death, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. That's who we're talking about. The King of the earth, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Unto him that loved us. Oh, beloved, listen to that. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That should make us love him so much. Our sins, our filthy, hell-deserving sins were washed away by his blood.
Amen.
His blood is present tense, cleansing us from all sin. 1 John 1:7 said, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. He died once and for all and shed his blood for sin, but that the efficacy of that blood is being manifested to our conscience as we need cleansing. It's always there cleansing us because it was accepted of the Father. Thank God for that. Another thing we see by that is that the old nature, the sinful nature, its dominating power was broken once and for all. It says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Talking about living in sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. When grace comes, beloved, it breaks the power of sin dominating our life. Because, you know, in 1 John, it says, if we walk in darkness, and say that we sin not, we're liars because we're sinners. And if we're walking in the light as he is in the light, we're not walking in darkness. That's talking about a habitual walking in sin. Christians don't habitually sin. And when he breaks the power here, that's why Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, breaks that dominating power that we can walk in fellowship with God, Brother Ray, and we can do those things pleasing in his sight. What the beautiful thing. And we're justified from all sin. For he that is dead is freed from all sin. That word free means justified from sin. We've been justified by the grace of God. Justified by his blood. That means not guilty before God. Not guilty. I tell you what. These truths should excite us. You know, we hear, but we don't hear. And that's why we need to meditate upon the truth. Meditate upon these things until God touches your heart. Christ's resurrection is another part of his life, his death, his resurrection. Jesus said in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He is our life and resurrection. And one day he's coming again. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. His resurrection was declarative that we've been justified before God.
Amen.
If he had stayed in the grave, it would have showed, first of all, he was a false prophet. Second, we're still in our sins. And we would be without justification, without righteousness, without so many blessings. Paul said, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We one day will be resurrected and be with the Lord. We'll be like him. What a glorious time that would be. Glorious. Who had delivered us from our offenses and was raised again for our justification, declarative. He declared by his resurrection, my children are justified before God. What a wonderful thing that is. Now, what does that mean to us at the present time? Now, here's what we need to really think upon Christ and his resurrection. Do you want victory in your life? Do you want to walk in the power of Jesus? Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died and gave himself for me. Christ is living within us. So in Romans 5:10 it says, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now this is not talking about salvation in the beginning. It's talking about a resurrection power of Christ saving us daily as Christians in our walk with God. We need deliverance every day from sin. We need deliverance from bondage. We need deliverance from so many things. And we're living, Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. It's Christ, beloved, in us that's giving us the ability to walk with God. People say, well, I can't live the Christian life. You're right, you can't. But you can, Christ can live it through you. As I said in just before this, Christ's resurrection is proof of our justification. We should know the power of his resurrection in our present life, that I might know him, Paul says, and the power of his resurrection. We want to know that in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. What a blessing that is. And the power over the old nature, the old man, over evil one, and over the last enemy that shall be death. And here's a few things, a few verses I want to give to encourage you. First one is Ephesians 3:20. What a beautiful verse. I quote this quite often. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You can't think of something that God cannot do for you. We all have needs. And God is saying you cannot think of anything that my power cannot fulfill in your life. What a thought that is. He can do above all that we ask to think, according to the power that's working in us or operating in us. There's a power in every child of God that's operating that delivers us from ourselves and meets our needs. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. You could say it this way, in all power, being empowered, passive force, according to the might of the glory of him. Brother Paul knew how to put it, didn't he? Through the Holy Spirit. His power, as we fellowship God and we're having fellowship with God, his power is being manifested in us. This is brought clear in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Okay, we're being empowered, passive voice, in the Lord. That means in your union with the Lord in prayer. You want power? Then get on your knees before God and have fellowship with God. As you're praying to God, He's empowering you for service. That's how we receive power. You don't pray? No power, beloved. You don't have fellowship with God? That's why we're so weak today. According to the might of the glory of His power. And in union with the Lord and in the might of His strength of Him. Philippians 4:13, this is one of my favorite verses. One preacher said, I can do all things. If he had stopped there, he would have been taken to glory. But Paul didn't stop and say, I can do all things. He went on to clarify that, through Christ which strengtheneth me. That word strengtheneth, there's in the active force. It's Christ who's infusing strength into us to serve Him. To serve Him. He meets all our needs. He saves us by His life and death and resurrection and ascension, and He's delivering us now, present tense, by His continuous power through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. That's why God says we're complete in Him. We're complete. Everything we need, He's provided. Beloved, I tell you, we need to rejoice in such a great Savior and a great God. The ascension of Christ. You know, that's when you read the historic account in the book of Acts, and for 40 days He taught among the people of God, and He witnessed to them, and then one day He ascended up into glory. You know, I can imagine when they saw that, they must have just been amazed. Here's a man talking to the Lord, the glory, and His feet leaves the ground, and He goes up in the clouds. That had to be, that probably got their attention. Jesus said in John 3:13, and no man that ascended up into heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? In Ephesians 4:8 says, wherefore he said when he ascended on high, he led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. And when he had spoken these things in Acts, he says, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as have you seen him go up into heaven. He's coming again. I believe in the personal second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. He will come again. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great and God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's our hope. And it purifies us. What a wonderful thought that is. He ascended into heaven at the right hand of God. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We need to be steadfast in our faith with God. Be faithful to the church of God. Be faithful attending the house of God. Be faithful in praying. Be faithful in reading the Word of God. Be faithful in spreading the good news of Christ. We are here to be witnesses unto Him. We're living epistles, read and known of all men. Commit yourself to the Lord every day of your life. Lord, use me today for your honor and for your glory. It says, For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. He is interceding for you and I continually. Remember, somebody's praying for you. And that can be ministers, brothers and sisters in the Lord. But mainly, Christ is always interceding on our behalf.
Amen.
Isn't that good to know? So, you know, like one of the psalmists says, no one cared for my soul. Yes, there's one who cares. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our great high priest over the house of God. He's continually interceding on our behalf. He's praying for you. What a blessing that is as we think about Christ. And it says, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. He's went to sat down in heaven, and he's there in the presence of God for you and I, pleading what he shed for us, his blood. We have so many things to be thankful for, beloved. Christ is truly, truly a blessing to us. And as we think about Christ, he's our advocate with the Father. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Now, why did John say that? If you study the first epistle of John, you're going to realize John is talking about fellowship in 1 John. I write these things that your joy may be full. We don't want to sin habitually. We don't want to sin because we don't want to lose our fellowship with God. And Satan is continually tempting us. We can lose our fellowship. And he said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What do we do if we sin? We go to our advocate with the Father. We go to our high priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ, the high priest of our profession. And we confess our sins to him. Beloved, the way to victory in the Christian life is to daily confess your sins. To realize in yourself you're nothing. And that God is everything. We need him daily in our lives. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we must say the same thing. By the grace of God, we are what we are. And we stand by grace. We live by grace. We walk by grace. And one day we'll be delivered by the grace of God from this world to be with the Lord forever and forever and forever. And beloved, these are great truths. Great truths. The death, the life, the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ into glory. This is a hope that we have as God's people. Jesus is not a fairy tale. This is not something people made up. This is history. He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. And he ascended up into heaven with people seeing him go up into heaven. This is all about Jesus. And he did it for a purpose, to save sinners like you and I. Amen. To save us from our sins. We need saving from our sins and from ourselves. We need the grace of God. Word of God says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. But how much also is he a mediator of a better covenant, which was established from better promises, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Beloved, Jesus is the God-man of the everlasting covenant. He was set up from eternity to be the God-man. He was born for one purpose, to save you and I from our sins, and to live his life through us, through his Holy Spirit. We need him daily in our lives. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Colossians 2:6. How did you receive him? By faith. Now how do you to walk in Christ? By faith. By faith. You say, well, I believed in Christ. Now when you sin, by faith, you go to him and say, Lord, my high priest, my advocate with the Father, forgive me and cleanse me. Cleanse me. And the Lord will cleanse you and give you that peace that passeth all understanding. What a joy that is. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We're to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Young people, how should you live? You should live for the glory of God. Are you a believer? And what's the first thing a believer is commanded to do? To be baptized. To be immersed. And follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you're a believer and you're not, and haven't been baptized and you're not following Christ and joining a congregation of the saints, you're not fulfilling what God has called you to do. Satan wants to hinder people from following Christ. He takes the truth out of their mind and says, oh, you can do that later. Beloved, Jesus said, if you believe in me, follow me. Amen. Are you a believer this morning, people that are here? I don't know any of you personally. So I'm saying, if you're a believer and you haven't followed Christ in baptism, it's the time to follow Him and be obedient to the heavenly calling. Follow Jesus Christ in baptism. Be immersed. What an honor it is to go under the water, come out of the water, to walk, as Paul says in Romans 6, in newness of life.
Amen.
Amen. To walk and enjoy the fellowship of the saints. God has called us to have fellowship one with another. It's the church, the ecclesia of the Lord, the congregation who meets and assembles. We meet in this building. This is a meeting house. We are the congregation of the Lord, the people of God. We are temples of the Lord. You know, Paul says, your bodies are the temples of God. And we're to glorify God in our bodies, in our temples, which are God's. That's why we're to live a holy life, because we are temples of the living God. And this is a truth that young people today need to hear. As they have to walk out in this wicked world, beloved, we belong to the Lord. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And to all of us need to remind ourselves of that. We belong to God. We are divine property, Brother Ray. We are His. We belong to Him. He bought us. He washed us from our sins. And He owns us. He's the Lord of glory. And He deserves our obedience as God's people. You know, the gospel is called the gospel of obedience. Those who walk in disobedience is no evidence that they are His people. Those who walk in obedience and don't walk in darkness, they walk in light, they walk in fellowship. That's the only evidence we know we can have that we are children of God. And John was written, he says, you can know that you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. It's wonderful when God's saints can love one another, commune to each other, help one another. If we see a brother or sister fall, we go there and help lift them up, encourage them. How long has it been since you've encouraged a brother or sister in the church or some of your own family? You have a ministry. We all have a ministry, Brother Ray, as members of the house of God, to minister to those around us. You say, well, I'm not called to preach. Of course not. Not everyone's called to preach, but we all are called to minister God's love through us to others who need to know the love of God. It's shed abroad in our hearts. It should come forth to others. And I pray that we'll get a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, these things are real. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God, the true and living God. It's emphasized in the Word of God. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And where does He live? In the inside each born-again child of God. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. As we close, I want to say a few things about Christ as our King and Lord. Romans 14:8 says, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, notice this, we are the Lord's. He's King of Kings in Revelation and Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty God, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lord. He says in His Word, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Everyone who's hearing this message this morning, I pray that you'll yield yourselves to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is worth it. All our obedience. We deserve to honor Him by our life and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Paul said in Philippians, for our conversation is in heaven, whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. I'm glad He's going to change this body like unto His glorious body. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. One day we shall be holy as He is holy. We shall be like Him. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more heartache, no more weeping. We shall rejoice in such a wonderful God. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, that's the way to judge. Some people say, well, what's good and evil? What's right and wrong? If you can't do it for the glory of God, don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. We should come to the church with a fervent heart and serving the Lord. We come Him to worship Jesus. Where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst. He's here. By faith we can see Him. We don't see His physical body, but He promised to be with us, and Jesus has never lied to His people. He keeps His promises. Every congregation this morning, He's there in their midst. He says, I walk in Revelation in the midst of the churches. And by faith, we understand that He's here with us today. And we're worshiping Him by singing, praising, hearing the preaching, and searching our hearts and yielding ourselves to Him in heart obedience. I can remember the day the Lord spoke to my heart. And I pray that those here who's never heard, I pray one day God will speak to your soul and to your heart, and you'll hear that precious good news of the gospel will all of a sudden give you joy. I believe that. I want to know more of that. I want to hear more about Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit will give you that faith. You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit regenerates the child of God. That faith comes forth. You hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That faith lays hold of Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And He commanded me to be baptized. I want to follow Him in baptism. I want to join the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will build My church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to be where God wants me to be. Beloved, that's when you start enjoying the things of God, enjoying God and praise Him for who He really is. So whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And remember, He said, why call Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? May we pray. Father, we pray that You'll bless these few words to our hearts. And Lord Jesus, we just want to stop and say we love You. Thank You for so great a salvation, Lord. We praise Your name for Your goodness. For loving sinners like us who deserve nothing but hell. And Lord, we look forward to Your second coming. And we shall be caught up to be with You forever and ever. And we thank You for the comfort that we have, that one day we will be caught up and changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. May You bless these people here with the Word of God. You said in Your Word, you should know the truth, and truth shall set you free. I pray the Lord, if there's anyone here today, that I pray the truth, if they're in bondage, will set them free by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I enjoy being here today, and I pray that the few things I've said might be a blessing to you. And Brother Ray.
Bless you, brother.
The Lord's given us a lot of things to think on this morning. I appreciate Brother Leroy and those things that he brought forth. He mentioned there the ascension of Jesus Christ. And has he described it aptly there, and that as it is in the first chapter of Acts, of how those disciples must have felt as they saw the Lord ascend up into heaven.
Amen.
I think about that. Many thoughts that come to our minds, but one of the things that I think about when I think about that is, first of all, when He left heaven. It's a great mystery that the God, Jesus Christ, is God.
Yeah.
He's one of the persons of the Godhead. That He could leave heaven and come down to earth and be born and have a human body and be born. That little baby that came from Mary was the absolute most powerful being that there is, God, but He was manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
I would think that when He left heaven, that, you know, sometimes you have a, when we have somebody that goes away and we know they're going to be going away for quite a while, We might have it a going away party. Maybe there was a going away party in heaven when Jesus left. But there's also that coming home party.
Amen.
And can you imagine what it was like when Jesus went back to heaven? He gave gifts unto men, as Brother Leroy said. He left things for us here on the church. He gave gifts to the church. But there was a great homecoming because Christ had come back to heaven. But there's also going to be a great homecoming someday for God's people. Brother Leroy, I know he's talked to me often about this. He lost his mother a little over a year ago. Brother Leroy and his mother had a special relationship, probably more so even than most mothers and sons have, because Brother Leroy and his mother lived together for over 50 years. She was a dear, sweet lady, and Brother Leroy lost her, and he's been alone. But he knows that she is in heaven, that she had a homecoming. That when she arrived in heaven, there was a welcoming party for her. I think about when when Stephen was stoned. That the Bible says that he looked into heaven and Jesus stood welcoming him into heaven. And he's welcoming all of his people into heaven.
Amen.
So we're thankful for that great hope that we have.
God.
That when we leave this world, we go to a better life.
Amen.
And all the comforts that we may not have while we're here on earth, there's no telling what it's going to be like in heaven. We can't describe what it's going to be like. So I'm thankful, Brother Leroy, for these thoughts that you have brought us today. The Lord has led you to speak to us. And I just pray that we will take these things to our heart, that we will meditate upon them. He gave us a lot to think about. I'll tell you that. He gave us a lot to think about. So let's ask the Lord to especially be with us and have meditate upon these things, and may it move us in our lives.